no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. So the devil knows his time is short, and he's come down with what? Great wrath. Great wrath. Not a little wrath. Not a small amount. Great wrath. So God is attesting to the power of the devil right there. He's saying he has great wrath. So when, people say, well, you know, the devil, he has no teeth and all that stuff. No, he's been able to do a whole lot because he's a powerful being created by God. Right? Bless the Lord. So I'm going to read another scripture because Keith said you read them scriptures, get the scriptures. Read the whole thing. Don't just be going through. So Luke 11:34. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. Here in 2 Peter 2:4, it says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept in judgment. Okay, so Matthew 22:13 says, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and throw him into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, so I mentioned these scriptures first. I mentioned the one about us being full of light that floods out the darkness, right? And then I'm mentioning scriptures that pertain to Satan who's been confined to darkness. Okay, so darkness is reserved for him and his angels, okay? So in contrast, we're supposed to walk in the light. Because if we walk in the darkness, then we're in his domain. The darkness was reserved for Satan. Okay, if you walk in darkness, you're walking in his domain, in his property, in his territory. Okay, and so that's what we don't want to do. Now, at my mother's church, I remember me and Keith and Rick and Carla and a bunch of us went down to my mother's church once. I think Richard went and some more of us. They're out in the country, and their church is further out in the country, and then the church has a big gate around it. And, so they have this big gate around the parking area and the church itself. It's huge. It's almost half the block where the church is. And so, they have, it's not current. They have a gate with a spike that goes in the dirt and then a chain around the spike and the gate and then a padlock on it or a key lock, right? And so I came early one morning, I had the keys. This one might have been one of my first times preaching there, maybe 15 something years ago or something. And I had the key and everything, and I unlocked the gate because I was the first one there coming all the way from Oakland. I opened up the church gates. Left them open, pushed the two gates open so that the cars that would follow me would be able to get in and park. Then we went in and had service and everything. And after service, it was time to go. We were doing all our hugs and salutations and loves and all that stuff. And then I said, okay, you guys go home. I'm extending this to my parents. They're elderly. I want them to go home. I'm going to finish locking up everything. Oh, let us help you with the gate. I got it. Let us help you. I can do this. I'm almost insulted because it's like they didn't think I could lock a gate, right? And my mother, if you knew her, you know, they got in the car, they drove a little bit, then they stopped and she rolled the window down. You sure? You know, no, I got this, right? They drove a little bit further up and stopped. Are you sure we can lock it? You know, I said, I can lock the gate, right? A little bit further up, halfway down the block, they're blowing the horn. You okay? You know, so that just adds insult to injury. Who can't lock a gate? I unlocked it. I could lock it. But, you know, so 3-4 hours later, I'm out here fumbling with this contraption, right? Chains and things. And I'm mad because who would have a system like this in the first place? Why would they put this? Isn't with us. By now, we should have a feasible entry. You know, just, you know, when you get mad, all kinds of stuff just starts flooding. And, you know, and it's just ready to come out. Now, they offered to help me, but, you know, they did. They said they would do it, you know. But I'm trying to prove myself, which has been my MO in life here lately. You know, I just want to be depended on and counted on and people to place confidence in me that I can do stuff. And that's part of my recovery, okay, you know. So, but... you know, for some reason, my pride wouldn't let me let them lock the gate. Finally, you know, I put the gate together. You should have saw it. It was the chain was over here. And I can't explain. I couldn't figure out how they did that, which might be why she insisted that they do it again, because this was not an easy thing to do. And no, my hard-headedness, I left. So my mom is funny. She's snide and cunning and everything, right? So we usually talk a little bit while I'm driving down Interstate 5 on the way back up here. So she calls. How's everything? And I could detect. You know, I knew she was. I knew. So, and I could detect in her voice, you know, that she was trying to get to the gate. But I went all out everywhere else. I talked about cars that could be wrecking, the cow smells, anything you could think of, right? Was it anything else you want to say? No, no, I better get off now. You know, I just want to, let's get off. So they knew that I messed up. They knew that gate wasn't locked right. And they brought it up in the subsequent visits that I would come down to how all the animals and the squatters had gotten in because, well, the gate wasn't locked. Yeah. You know, that's how she does. She holds on to it and dispenses it a little bit, you know. So, you know, I wouldn't say anything. I just continued on. I think the point that the Lord was giving me about the gate is there's some things we're able to do that God enables us to do, right? And then some things we need to count on Him for, right? So I could have counted on them to do this thing, right? I think my intention was good, that I wanted to be relied on, but I think my pride overtook me, right? Okay, yeah. And so, you know, and for that reason, the gate was left open. And nomads were there, and kites were flying, and, you know, and ostriches were running around, and, you know, so, you know, all that, you know, so the things that you don't want in the gate. Yeah. Okay, so, anyway, I've always been the type to try to figure out things without reading the instructions. Maybe some of you guys too. You know, I don't know. But for some stuff, you know, we can turn to each other. Like I could ask a friend to forgive me if I offended them, right? That's a logical and reasonable thing to do. Then, or ask a brother for advice, which I do all the time. Yeah. And so, and talk to a sister. You know, talking about the Lord, discussing the Lord is you know, common practice among believers. We should be able to do those things and don't think anything of that. That is a reasonable, expected interaction that we should have with each other. Okay. Some things, however, must be handled differently. You know, like praying, you know, I don't want to pray to you. You know, you're not God, so I don't want to pray to you, right? And I don't want to worship you. You know what I mean? I don't want to start bowing down, worshiping you. I appreciate you. But, you know, I don't want to start worshiping you. That's reserved for God, right? And then, and forgiveness. I don't want to start laying hands on you, forgiving you of your sins. right? You know, these things are, this is what we turn to God for, right? So some things are victories that only come from a personal relationship with Christ. At the same time, we need to maintain a corporate relationship with Christ. So it's not one or the other. You know, it's not, oh, I can just be a personal relationship with Christ and keep that relationship at home. No, he's called us to come together for the corporate part, right? Okay, so we need all the parts, right? Now comes the hard part, because as many of you know my testimony and everything, and I'm not going to give it again. We're not going there. Just remember what you remember, okay? I'm tired of being that pervert up here, that stuff again, you know. So, I'm going to call out your perversions so that you try to keep this pretty decent. So 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Okay, I just kind of want to touch on that for a minute. Sexual immorality. What is it? The definition of sexual immorality in Webster's is the evil ascribed to sexual acts that violate social conventions. Sexual immorality is a major reason, for instance, for all the many abortions last year, or the gay marriage, you know, or all the different things that are conducted based on love, but are really sexual lusts, you know, that would be immoral because, you know, God has a rule for marriage and sex is in the marriage and all of that kind of sort of thing. So I want to touch on that because I want to use this gate idea about how we think we can manage the gate, okay? The name of this sermon is Gate Management. And so we need to realize, you know, that the gate can be harder to manage than we, you know, initially believe. Now, Ted Bundy, you know, remember Ted Bundy? Okay, so he's a man that opened the door to sexual sin and found that it led to the ultimate in human depravity and transgression. His story captured the news headlines for more than 20 years. A fellow who was charming in manner concealed a secret life as a manipulating sociopath, serial rapist, and murderer. Okay, in his last interview, conducted the day before his execution, Bundy amazingly described how he had grown up in a solid Christian home. Yet Bundy admitted his exposure at the age of 12 to pornography was the beginning of his descent into becoming a notorious serial killer. With sexualized violence fueling his fantasies, Bundy said that the moral inhibitions bred in him by his Christian war raging inside of him between the right and wrong he'd learned as a child and his unbridled passion driven by hardcore violent pornography caused him to go out and act out. Okay, yeah, unseemingly. Okay, so what we don't want to do, and what's the first thing that I would do is that, you know, or think, is that, you know, we measure ourselves by ourselves. I would think, you know, I would never get to that. That, you know, I'm not going out murdering and killing people. You know, I've done my dirt, but it didn't have anything to do with serial raping and all this kinds of sorts of stuff. However, we all come from different walks of life and different forms of development, and we've all suffered things, individual things, different from each other, and the things that I suppose Ted Bundy went through, and then finding the porn, probably an outlet, and then the way he interpreted it and interpreted his life led him on a downward spiral, you know, into insanity. We can all suffer from insanity. His insanity was at a different level. Sin is sin. But there's levels of what's going on here, you know what I mean? That would be more than likely acceptable in society, which is for some things, and then non-acceptable in society. Different from the kingdom, because sin is sin in the kingdom. God is not tolerating sin at all, right? But in our society, people are putting levels on things. Now, I like how a lesbian that adopts a family, right, and considers herself a mother, and then and that this would be a household, a family unit, then could turn around and blast someone else for their immoral practice. You get it? It's kind of like, okay, because you're accepted right now by society, you have the right to point the finger at someone else. But it's the very thing that happens in our Christian fellowship that causes us to sin. In other words, if you see your brother overtaken by a fall, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a manner of meekness, lest you too be tempted. Right? So I can't blast you knowing I have the same proclivities. I can't do it, because then what I've been resisting is going to overtake me in a fall. Right? That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. So that trips me out. Now, sex sins are worse than other sins. I read Jack Hayford's book about fatal attraction some time ago. It was very good. If you've never read it, get it. But he points out some things about sex sins that, you know, I'd never really paid attention to. But why does Paul say that sex sins are worse? They're sins against your own body. What does that mean, sins against your own body? Well, does that mean that if I go out and have sex, then I come back with AIDS or herpes or something, then I sinned against my own body, and so now my body shows the sin, you know, is a sin demonstrated? I think that could be part of it, because he says that we do suffer the just due for the immoral acts. Am I right? Okay, but I think what's going on here is the issue of the mind during a sexual act that's outside of the confines of God. You're actually searing in your conscience. You're searing, burning it in, right? That's like when you put the steak on the grill and you sear it, and you know that burn is not coming off. It looks good, tasty, right? Okay, you seared it in. During the climatic part of the episode between you and whoever else, whatever you're doing and whoever you're doing it with is being written into your being, okay? So this is what's happening when we go outside of the confines of God with our sex acts, okay? So searing it, what does that mean then? Okay, it's written in my being. What does that mean? It means that now my being, my whole thought process is being perverted. Okay? I can't look at you without thinking of you in some perverted kind of way. Okay? Why? Because this is what I'm feeding on. I'm believing that this is right because I'm eating it up. Pastor Rick always says, you know, you starve what you want to die and you feed what you want to grow. Okay? If I'm feeding in this area, it's going to grow. It's going to grow and it's going to take over. And then I'm going to be a new man in Satan. Right? Okay. All right. A new man in Christ, new man in Satan. Huh? Okay. Okay, because this is what he wants. He wants us to, first of all, use this powerful thing, sex, to bring us to our knees. But not our knees to Christ, to bow down to him. And it'll do it. Okay, you tinker around with it and mess around with it. Sex is so powerful, it'll make a new man out of you. Okay, or a new woman. It will. It'll take you from a place where you thought I could never be a serial rapist and make you just that. It's not a joke, right? Okay, are we with me? Okay, because so, you know, say something every now and then. When you leave the gate open, stuff comes in that you don't want, right? If you don't close the gate properly, it's going to get in. It's going to get in, okay? Now, squatters in this society have rights. You know, you just can't go put a squatter out if they've been there long enough. You have to go get an eviction notice. Anyone that you let move in, we were somewhere, your friend was talking about her roommate. She let her move in. You can't just put her out. You got to go through the eviction process. And she may not like it, so she'll go through answering that illegal or that legal eviction process. So then stay in your home for years. You know, she fights back. You know, I like it here. And this is the enemy. Okay? He likes it here. This dwelling, I helped to set it up. I got all my stuff in here. You know, look, I'm not leaving. And let me tell you what you have to deal with. I've got a stronghold over your mind because you seared your conscience with sexual immorality. Okay, this is something that you did. Or that we did, which is my gate key. Okay, I can come and go as I please. Okay, so he knows these things. He's not playing. Okay, he's got a hold on a whole lot of us right in the church. Okay, all right, so let's be real. What did Pastor Roberts call it? Adult conversations? Was that it? I like that, you know, but it's the truth. Okay, that it's no joke. Christians have this issue. Okay, just because we're not talking about it or speaking it out. Our minds are telling us otherwise. The dictates of our mind will lead us into all kinds of areas if we let them run rampant. Okay, it's the truth. Okay, bless the Lord. So all we can see in people is our own imagination coming to fruition, which is bent now, broken. It's not Christ-like, right? All we can imagine comes to play. All those we encounter are rated in our minds as how well they will fare in our plots and schemes, okay? All our plans come down to an act of perversion. All the reasons why everything else is taking a back seat is because of the premier thing that constantly bombards our mind, okay? All the things we love, distorting love to a physical feeling, when in fact the feeling should result first by the love. In other words, people are going out and they're merging, then finding out I don't like you. So I'm going to go merge over here with someone. Oh, no, you are right. But, you know, then you turn around and come back full circle with someone that you didn't like before, but we can try it again. You know, look, we're not exempt from this. This is what sexual sin will take us to. Okay? Amen? It's amen. Okay, I don't know what you might be thinking right now, but I want you to realize that sexual sin is a sin against your own mind. It's a sin against our own mind, okay? So we've all been there. Not all of us, but, you know, some of us, we're trying to steer away from getting there, okay? If you come to terms with it, like anyone coming to terms with anything that's been a stronghold in their lives, you know, you find that it's like impossible to get out of this thing. You know, you could quit a whole number of things, gambling and cigarettes and alcohol and all kinds of sorts of stuff. But sex is powerful. It's powerful because God created it to unify you. One man and one woman. One. You're going to be one. It's for procreation. But it also unifies you. It makes you one. Okay? It's going to do that if you're doing it inside of his confines, in his will. And it's going to do it if you're outside of his will. It's going to make you one with whatever you're searing your conscience with. Okay? Bless the Lord. This is gravity. Okay? This is what it does. Okay, so we can't play with the Lord. Okay, we want out. Okay, we should want out. We don't want to sit there and harbor and hide and think, we're okay. I'm okay. This has to be coming to an end, or he knows I can't deal with this. He understands. It's powerful, but he's the gatekeeper. He is the keeper of the gate. He manages the gate if you let him. So one of the problems that we've been having here is that we've been trying to manage that gate. If you think about the 60s when the sexual revolution was taking place, and all of a sudden your favorite moral show started interjecting all kind of immoral this and moral that. You know, then you know, it's like good shows that you loved got canceled because they weren't immoral enough. You know, they needed that element that's, you know, that's pushing us on into the 21st century. You know, they needed that. So then you'd start hearing people just say, calling you, you know, you're sexy in that. Sexy, you look sexy. Yeah, you're sexy, Deborah. You're sexy. Okay? Now think about this. Think about it. What, if you call somebody sexy, what are you saying? I mean, really. You look like some sexy to me, sexually sexy, sex. Yeah. I mean, really. Okay, so no, this came through. Next thing you know, everybody was using it. Oh, that's sexy. Girl, that's sexy. Buy that. Buy that, girl. You know, you got to have it. That back out and all that, girl. You buy it. It's sexy. Okay? The enemy is subtle. He's subtle. He moves in, and the next thing you know, we got to be sexy. Why we have to be sexy? Well, this is what the world dictates, right? We have to keep up with the world. We want to be sexy because we seek the world's approval. We seek the approval of men. It's no joke. Look, this ain't uncommon. If we didn't get it from somewhere else, we're going to try to get it from somewhere else. In other words, where we're supposed to get it, our approval and our confidence and all of our stuff, where we're supposed to get it, if we're denied it, we're looking for it. Everybody wants to be approved of. Everyone wants to try. We've all tried it. All of us didn't look right in the same clothes that Hulk had on or Marilyn Monroe had on, but we tried to put them on because we, you know, so we have this idea that if we put them on, then we'll be like sexy, okay? Running around looking crazy, but sexy, you know. Revelation 12:7 says, now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Okay, Satan's going to fight back. What I think the Lord wants to do is show us a way out. And I just want to alarm you that Satan is going to fight back. Okay, if he fought back in heaven, what do you think? I mean, really. You know, this is in heaven where God dwells. It might have been a lower degree of heaven, you know, maybe third, second heaven or something. I don't know. But he fought in heaven against angels. Okay? So we can't count on ourselves to be the gatekeeper because we're not angels. We have to rely on the angels that God sent to defend us. We have to actually rely on God, because I'm going to make another point here, okay? This point illustrates the war that's going to take place in our minds, okay? So look, Satan is reserved for darkness. There's darkness in our minds. When someone's acting ugly, they walking in darkness. Who's darkness reserved for? It's reserved for Satan. So when someone's acting ugly and they're walking in darkness, they're walking in Satan's domain, right? So Satan can do, look, it's a dangerous thing to walk in the domain of Satan. Okay, he could take you out, you know, or you come out of there with all kind of plagues. And yeah, let me tell you, okay, the enemy has a plan to destroy us, especially if you are trying to get a relationship with the Lord. So I'm going to tell you, be on guard. Because of this message, you might be tempted, overly tempted, to go into areas that you've been able to have some success in, okay? Because we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices, okay? He's a powerful foe. But I believe the Lord has given us some tools today, and I'll share with you, that we can overcome the wiles of the enemy. Bless the Lord. Okay, so in contrast to Ted Bundy, let's think of Al Bundy. Remember Al Bundy? Okay, so we think we like Al Bundy. We can watch Al, right? Love and marriage, love and marriage. All right. With his daughter, she's promiscuous. The son is a pervert. The mother's sex starved. Al is unhappy. He didn't get his football scholarship. He broke his leg or something. Just miserable. And then they make fun of all these sexual situations all day. He's not coming to the plate. The daughter's coming to all the plates. The son wished he could come to a plate. You know, it's just really, and then we're just laughing and hee-hawing and enjoying this and perverting our own minds because it's as quiet as it's kept. No, they're not nude. They're not. But there's a message going in the ear gate. Oh, we got an eye gate and we got an ear gate and we got all kind of gates. And the message is getting in and it's making us desensitized to the issue of the power of sexual sin. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless God. So he's not alone. I mean, that this is what Hollywood has done. They've ushered in Eddie Murphy Raw. I mean, you knew not to watch that. Look, you might not have been a believer when you saw that Raw. Eddie Murphy Raw. Oh, he gonna be nasty. You knew that. And you got HBO because you wanted to see all the rawness. But I believe something in us, because God is real, told us that's not the area to go in. But we overcame that real quick because of the lack of godly conviction. Okay? Christians have to overrule that godly conviction to get in there. And it's like cheating with someone's wife. It's going to have more of a pleasure and a draw to it because you know it's wrong. But you went into it anyway. And now you're just captivated and stuck and just under a stronghold bond you can never get out of. Why are you leaving your wife? I love his wife. I can't help it. Look, this is what God intended. It has to be. It makes me happy. Okay? No, you went into the erroneous zone and you did it all wrong. And now it's taken over you. It's the driving force in your life right now. You can't see life without his wife. That rhymed. You know, I can be clever. No, I didn't think of that. But that rhymed. Okay, so I'm telling you the compulsion, the things that sex will do to us, they're not glorifying in the least to our Father in heaven if we're doing those things outside of his will. If you're honest with yourself, and I'm trying to be honest with myself, it's that, you know what? I've seen thumbnails on Facebook. And if she has a sexy look, sexy, here we go again. You know, what is it that tells me I need to make sure and see if she's really sexy? I mean, let's think about it. Okay, if he's got his shirt off, and I won't use you, but if he has his shirt off, and then you, I wonder if he has more off. You get it? It's kind of like, no, you're opening the gate. Okay, you're opening up the gate. And if you open up the gate, it's going to be a floodgate. It's going to come in, and everything unimaginable is going to squat in the darkness that you are now providing for the enemy. Okay, it's going to squat there. So it's a twofold. You go in his domain, then he comes in yours. And what's the parable say? That, you know what? He comes in and brings more demons. If you try to cast him out, he brings more. Okay, so look. What we want to do is we want the power to resist the allure. Because, look, if it looks like it's going to be bad, don't go in there. I mean, really. Look, this is something I'm saying that we do in our own strength. It's common sense, okay? Common sense is don't go in there. It's dark in there, okay? That's where Satan dwells. Okay, it looks good. Don't go in. Okay, now if you've gone in and you can't get out, right, you're going to have to call on the power greater than yourself to get you out. Because he just told us how strong this thing is. Okay, he doesn't lie to us. Sex sin is sinning against your own body, your own mind. Okay? So you can't tell a person that they're crazy when they're crazy. You know what I mean? It's like they're crazy, so it's like telling a blind person you're blind. You know? So, right? Okay? Make sense? So first it was PG, general admission, then it turned into what, R, then X, PG-13 and stuff. Now general admission is X, and X is triple X, and you know, and we think because we're adults, because you couldn't watch it when you were kids, obviously I can manage this as an adult. I'm an adult for mature audiences. This is what's set up for a mature audience. Mature people can go in darkness. Do you know how many mature people believe that they can go in darkness? They believe they're mature enough to go out. Okay? They believe this. Look, you know they do. I'm not going to point the finger that you were out there. All right? But we know that maturity gives the wrong idea. Okay? You might be mature in some things, but God is the most mature. And look, don't put yourself to a foolish test. What are you doing? Maturity means you don't go. In a lot of cases, maturity is going to mean you don't click. You don't turn it on. It means also that you put a padlock on it. It means that. It means a filter is needed on my internet browser. Okay? And this is what maturity means, okay? A gentleman's club. They're not likely gentle in the club. Okay? Let's consider the terms, the cliches that are coming out convincing the people that we can actually maneuver through this place, because we're immature if we can't go in there. This is what, okay, that they want us to believe. You're not mature enough to go down to the club. You know you're going down to the club to save souls, but you dress sexy. Here you are out here sexy, saving souls. I mean, look, if you dress properly, nobody's probably going to talk to you anyway. Okay, so look. Don't lie to yourself. If you lie to yourself, you're going to be in trouble. That's not the place for you. Maybe if the Lord is sending you there and you verify it with your brothers and sisters that and they agree with you, then by all means, you get it? Because you didn't hide it and decide in and of yourself that you're mature enough. All right? All right? Okay, look, I don't need to bring that to Pastor and Deborah and them. I'm mature enough to go. I can manage this, you know. And look, if Ruth tells me otherwise, then X her, because I won't come to her anymore. She's not hearing the things of God. I'm mature enough to do this thing. Many times we've operated in that vein. We believe, you know, we got this, when we don't. Look, nobody wants to hear this conservative sounding message that means I can't go do nothing. No. No, you can't. You can come to church and go home. No, but the truth is that happiness is found in Christ, and how would I say it? The deception of what we think is happiness is it's cunning enough that we have to actually distinguish what part of this I can do and what part of this I can't do. Right? Because, because we can do some things. You know, I'm not going to start telling you what things you can do. You ask me, do you think that's okay? And then we're going to both ask Cliffina. okay? This is how we're going to do this thing. But
I'm not going to tell you.
I'm not going to tell you where you can go. You can go to the jazz. Go on down there. It's only jazz. I'm not going to tell you that, Barbara. And here's why. Because, look, you might get down there and that only jazz is some jazz that you listened to when you were being infused with something else at some time. You get it? And then that brings to mind, okay? So I'm not going to tell you what you can do. You're going to ask the Lord and you're going to ask your brothers, okay? It makes sense? Because that searing took place. You're in shopping in Ross and they play the song that a searing took place. What do we need? We need the Lord. Okay, but really, uproot this thing. Okay, I remember. I might need to go outside in the parking lot until they change songs. Because this is taking me back to something very ungodly. But the bulk of us, we're mature enough. We can handle that song. Before you know it, you moving like you moved that night. Okay? Before you know it, music is very powerful too. Yeah, bless the Lord. So, how am I doing? Time? Huh? Oh, there it is. Oh, shoot. Well, I'll start from there because I didn't see that before. So, am I taking too long here? Be honest. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, because I'll stop because, you know, I can save the next half for next time, you know. Listen, saints. What I think I want to convey right now is that some things are good for some people and some things are bad for some people. But don't get to the place where you think more highly of yourself, right? That you can indulge in something that you haven't disclosed to some people. All right? You need not your neighbor who's going to encourage you to go on. And you remember Keisha, you know, she'll help you go on. You should have slapped them. You know, you don't want to. What you want to do is you want to come to the godly person and pray about it and see if this is the thing that you should be doing. How does it make you feel? It makes me feel good. How's it look to others? I don't know. You know, does it matter that your feel good looks good to others? Does it matter? It matters. Bless the Lord. We have to live our lives out in concern for people around us. We're the only Christians they may ever see. We got to be real. You know, that people could take this real thing. Oh, be real, be raw, be real. No, we have to be real Christians. Okay? Look, you're a Christian? I said it before. You give up your rights to go and be mature. Okay? You give those rights up. Because you're a Christian now in this army. It's not about your rights. It's about the rights he gives us. Bless the Lord. I thought I could manage the gate. I'm clearly not the gatekeeper. I can't manage the inhabitants that have taken up residency in there. I think too highly of myself, especially in terms of the power of a growing sinful appetite and my desires to carry those appetites to term. I used to pray to be relieved of my insatiable appetites for lust, and when nothing happened, I declared in my heart, then it must be okay. It must be okay for me to act out because I prayed about it and God, he didn't change me. I gave him a chance. You know, now look, I'm not going to keep asking. You know, then it'll mean what? It means I don't believe God or trust God. So I'm not going to be insubordinate and offend you, Lord. I'm going to go on and do my thing because you didn't take it away. Right? I asked. Did you ask? Raise your hand if you asked before. Okay? Then you still had to deal with it. Okay? Bless the Lord, there's some honest people in here. Just you. You're the only one. No. You know. But listen here. Okay? Listen here. I sound like I'm from the country. Listen here. Okay? The truth is,
is that we have a reputation we want to preserve. We have goals that we want to achieve. We have this American dream instilled in us that we're supposed to go after. You know, happiness and the contentment and all the things that the world is telling us are worthwhile for seeking here in this dying world. Right? So if that's the case, you know, and if I believe that God didn't take away my desire, and that must mean he's okay with it, right? I need to think, why didn't he take it away if his word says it's wrong? Why is that? Okay, maybe I wanted it out my way so I could pursue my dreams. Maybe the porn kept me up too late at night. So, you know, I was ineffective at work, you know, or maybe all the prostitutes or whatever, you know, they were stealing my wallet week after week after week, right? I need to keep some money. Lord, help me. I can't keep some money. Lord, help me. They're going to fire me on my job. Lord, help me be the me I want to be. Take it away for me. Hear me? Okay. We want him to take it away for him so that we represent him. It's his reputation that's on the line. Bless the Lord. Not us. It's not about us in this regard, except for that he wants to use us to prove what he can do in a fallen vessel to a fallen world. He wants to take you and use you and make you something new in front of people that can't seem to see in darkness. It's not for us. It's so that we represent the kingdom. He came here of no reputation. He didn't care. He didn't sin. But he's telling us now, give up your reputation, so that your Father will be glorified in heaven. Right? Ask that this time. Okay? When you ask him to take it away, Lord, help me want to do it for you. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Not for me. For you. So I can be pleasing to you. Bless God. Bless the Lord. Satan's time is short. So is ours. Our time is short. It's short here, okay? If we spend less time pretending we know how to lock and open and lock gates, and instead start asking the Lord to manage the gate. Okay, we'd be using our time here a little more wisely. Bless the Lord. Bless God. I didn't look at you guys yet, so I'm going to start looking over there. Okay. Not to intimidate you, but just, you know. Okay, we've had some success. We've walked away from plenty of stuff. You know, diets and everything, you know, we were able, okay? I'm going to cut this short, but you know, I'm going to be mad when I drive home. I forgot something. It should have said this or should have said that. But the sex sin part, okay, it's kind of like, it can be so overwhelming, right? And it can so overtake us. Not like other addictions and things. I mean, you know, you could smoke and you could be a drinker or a gambler or whatever, right? And that sexy part that comes into play when you're a sexual sinner doesn't come into play with the smoker. Oh, you're smoky. You know what I mean? You're so smoky. You know, it doesn't work like that. You get it? Or you're drunky. You're a drunk. You know, that's not attractive. No one wants to be called that. You get it? But the Lord's trying to show us. It's like, look, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. These three things are major things we have to deal with. The enemy is not, look, he came in to a nation of people and brought his perversion with him and set up and erected in the minds and the hearts of people these idols, right? So that we would be at their beck and call, submitting to them all the time, not knowing how we're going to get out. And like I said, just being content with we may never get out. This must mean God's happiness for us. It can be a crazy fight when you become a Christian, because it has the power, that circumstance has the power to question your Christianity time and time again. It makes you wonder, am I really saved? You know, I can't be saved after what I've just done. You get it? It's like, oh, you're a Christian. The conviction comes after it. It comes in. And that's just the enemy coming in to make you finally throw in the towel. Look, just give up this mess. You asked. You get it? So back to the place of what we're asking for, who we're asking and why we're asking. We have to ask God to do this in us. Do in me what I can't do in myself. Give me a request from you that I wouldn't ordinarily ask for. And make it genuine. Make it sincere. I don't just want to put on a facade anymore. I'm able to do that. I'm able to hold it together and look right in front of Wynn. You know, look right and walk away and Wynn say, that brother got it together. You know, and I'm walking away thinking I can't wait to get away from Wynn because I got plans. You get it? It's kind of like what the Lord is trying to say is that if you don't have a genuine admission or a genuine and sincere request for deliverance, ask for that. Ask for it. Give me a genuine heart for something I love that I don't think I'll be able to deal without. How can I live without this? It's been a part of my life all my life. But you can, because you're not trying to close the gate. You're giving him the key, right? He'll not only close the gate, he moves in and all the kites and ostriches and everything else has to go, right? Okay, this is the truth, okay? He's not going in to bring light into darkness where Satan is confined. He's coming in here and in here to bring light to where Satan has set up his throne, okay? To deliver us from darkness into the marvelous light, right? Bless God. What's spiritual food? What's spirit food? What is it? It ain't Housewives of Atlanta. It ain't something in there for everybody. The women can enjoy and the men can enjoy and, you know, those in between can enjoy. You know, it's not feeding on empire. You will not have the success you want. Asking God to look, roll your eyes if you want to. Go home, put your empire on, be the queen of empire. Okay? I can't tell you what to do. I'm trying to tell you what we feed on makes us who we are. We are what we eat. Okay? We are. Bless the Lord. Okay, so spiritual food is what? This is spiritual food. Coming together over the word, praying with each other, coming to each other's need. Look, you know you're connected when something happens to Maya and you feel like it's you that it happened to. We grieve when each other grieves, and we rejoice when each other rejoice. But, okay, it's a connection God's doing. It's not the sexual and moral connection that we were connecting and making connections with. It's the spiritual connection that he's doing among us that makes us one. We're one, one bride. Bless the Lord. He can do this. Bless God. Throw up your hands and surrender, because God can do this. Spirit food. Eat your spirit food. A war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And they lost. Who lost? The dragon. Why'd the dragon lose? Michael and his angels, they overpowered the dragon, cast him out. The Bible says it was because of the blood of the lamb that they lost, and the word of their testimony. You get it? Okay, an angel is no angel if he's not empowered by God. Okay, we're not who we are if we're not empowered by God. Okay, there's no flower growing without the sun. It looks like it for a little while, and then it's after a while to be cast down and trampled under the feet of men. Okay, like a lot of us growing without the Lord, looking for our downfall day because it's coming. Looking like Joan Crawford when you Michael Jackson because you've been arrested. You know, this is what happens. And I say that because the world will make a mockery out of you. A Christian, you came in talking about Christ and then you compromised. You will be trampled under the feet of men. You lost your savor. You're no longer salty or salty tasting. Look. No, don't look there. So we're going to close this. I don't know, but I really think I've gone over. And it doesn't matter, but, you know, I'll visit you again one day. Pastor. Bless the Lord. Listen, there's a key thing I'd like to say, because I've explained how we have to pray to get out of these bondages. If we're in a bondage and we know it, we ask the Lord to give us a prayer, sincere and genuine, okay, to pray to get out. So I need a prayer so that I can pray sincerely to the Lord. So I'm not going to lie to you and tell you I want out to be a pleasure to the Lord when actually I have my own agenda in mind, right? I want it to be off drugs. Why? Because they're driving Maseratis down to the concert tonight, right? I want it to be off until you gave me $10. Then I want it to be on again. And then after I was on again, I longed to be where you were at the concert. Okay? It was a continuous cycle. There was no end to it. So, look, cure me of these drugs so I can go live a worldly life. No, clear me, Lord. Remove this obstacle so that I can serve you is, again, the heart of my request. But it's not vain repetition. Just saying that doesn't mean anything to God. Okay, he's looking for hearts that are turned over and surrendered to him. Okay? Okay, when you come to me and pray, I will hear from you. But when you come to me with your whole heart, I will deliver you from your captivity. All right? That's Jeremiah 29:12. Look, he wants the truth in our hearts. So examine your heart. Test them. Test them. Okay, the Bible tells us clearly. Examine my ways. Test them so I can return to you. Okay, Lamentations 5:13, I think, or 3:15. Don't write that down. Then you won't return to him, because you'll say, David, and don't know. I'm telling you, Lamentations. Yeah, it's in there. And David, you know, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Okay, look, we're asking the Lord, search through here. You know, I'm just talking right now. They told me to pray, so I'm praying, O Lord, please take it away. Please take it away. And I'm walking right to it. Okay. Oh, he didn't take it away. All right. I want a prayer that's sincere. I want him to give me a sincere prayer. I even need that from him. Okay? Bless the Lord. Bow your heads with me. Yeah. Bless the Lord. Come on. Bless God.